Hello, welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. We're pleased to have you join us for the program.
And all of this took place before the cross. Now, some people say Jesus Christ died for your sins and your sicknesses. And I'm going to argue, no, he didn't. He died for your sins. By his grace and power, he can heal you of your sickness anytime he likes. He didn't need the cross to have the right to do that.
God says that he will be our God and we will be his people. He's our God and he's a hands-on God. He's involved in the everyday and the most intimate parts of our lives. What do we know of our God? Dr. Corbett is continuing his exploration of who our God is. Tonight, God heals.
Speak to our hearts that, Father, where people have come with doubts, looking for reasons to have faith, reasons to believe, we pray, Lord, that today you, by your grace, would grant the cry of their heart. Father, for those people who are here today and they need a touch in their lives, Lord, whether it be physically, emotionally, psychologically, we pray, Lord, that you would meet them where they're at and be the answer to their need, we pray. And Father, we ask that everything that is said right now would cause people to see you in a greater, more glorious way, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you've heard, Judith Brain very aptly said over communion, we have commenced a series looking at our God, attributes of our God. We're looking at the things that define the God that we worship, because, you know, sometimes people can say that we all just worship the same God. You know, after all, we believe God is the creator of heaven and earth, and so do a whole bunch of other religions. But is it the same God we're worshipping? Just because someone says the God they worship is the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it does not mean that we are worshipping the same God, because they may then attribute that, the ability to create, to a rock or a stone or a graven image or a piece of metal or whatever it is, or to some guru in India and claim he's God. Well, the Bible says there are certain things about our God, and he's our God. He's not just the God, he's our God. And that expression, our God, is a term that speaks of relationship. You know, Kim is not just the wife. I never refer to Kim as the wife. She's my wife. Amen. I'm just amening myself. And it's not just, you don't just go home to the home, you go home to your home. You've got a relationship with your husband, your wife, your children. Unless they're naughty, then they're not my children. He is our God. We have a relationship with our God. And there are certain things that we need to know about our God. Firstly, he speaks, and that's what we looked at last week. God speaks. And we've seen that God speaks in various ways. The most common way that God speaks is probably through dreams, probably. Next to that may well be circumstances, that God will ordain circumstances to communicate a message to someone. We've seen also that God uses prophets to speak. And probably in Scripture, the most predominant way God speaks is through prophets, and God will use people today to speak. So we saw that God will also use creation. Romans chapter 1 says that God speaks through creation to the point where it is evident that there is a God, to the point where Romans chapter 1 says no one has an excuse. No one can stand before God on the day of judgment and say, I didn't know. I didn't have enough reason to believe. Romans chapter 1 says, bunk. You can't say that. Because there is a God who has revealed himself through creation. God speaks through creation. That's reiterated in Psalm 19 as well. God speaks through art. I mentioned last week about Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. Oh, I love saying that name. Wish I had a name like that. My mum and dad are here today. I don't know why they didn't name me Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. I suppose it's because their name was Corbett, I suppose. Anyway, welcome to my mum and dad who are here, by the way. And it was Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf who was looking at a painting of Christ with tears in his eyes. And this man was a man who was living immorally, and just he was rich, he had good looks, he was just cashing that in. And yet he went to this art gallery, I think it was in Paris, and he saw this painting, and God gripped him, just gripped him, and his whole world changed. And he became a Christian and became the leader of a group called the Moravians, which eventually led to John Wesley coming to Christ, which eventually led to the conversion of William Wilberforce, and just an amazing man. So God will use art. God will speak through film and so on. So we've seen that. God saves. We'll look at that the next in our series. God saves and God heals. That's what we're going to look at in just a moment. And God delivers and God blesses. So we started the series looking at God blesses, and we looked at the blessing of God, and we've looked at how God speaks. And now we're going to look at God heals. If you've got your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 10. This is a well-known story. It's the story of the man who became identified with his condition. He's known as blind Bartimaeus, even though he got healed. He's known as blind Bartimaeus. And we're reading from verse 46, and we're going down to verse 42. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus. What, by the way, Bar means son of in Hebrew. So you can see Bartimaeus, Bar, son of Timaeus. That's just by the way. So just by the way, when Jesus was on trial and Pilate brought him out and Barabbas, the reason Jesus wasn't called Bar Joseph is because Barabbas, his first name was actually Jesus as well. And so when Pilate was offering, which Jesus do you want? This Jesus or this Jesus? It's interesting, the choice is still being offered today. The Jesus that the world has created, Barabbas, or the Jesus that God has sent, just by the way. So here we have Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, verse 47 of Mark 10. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? That's an amazing question. And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your what? Faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. There's a whole lot of truth in here, which I just want to unpack right now. Firstly, Bartimaeus, blind from birth. Here's the question. Think of all the Old Testament. Think of all that Jesus had kind of done up until this point. Had a blind person, not a visually impaired person, a blind person ever, even by miracle, received their sight back? Let me cut to the chase. No. Not one miracle in the Old Testament was a blind person receiving their sight back. And up until the early part of Christ's ministry, no blind person received their sight. What was it that got into Bartimaeus' thinking that said, Jesus could give me my sight? What was it? Don't know. Don't know, except that maybe Bartimaeus had an inkling of who God really was. Now, this is interesting because in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, this is God bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. This is where God goes from being the God to being our God or their God, the God who has a relationship. In fact, when he revealed himself, Moses said, whom shall I say is sending me? And God said, the God who wants a relationship with you. Now, that's the long, exaggerated version of it. How did he say it in Hebrew? I am that I am. And it means I am wanting to have a relationship with you. This is a radical concept Because the gods of that era were things to be feared. You offered children as sacrifices. You never knew if you could appease these gods. And here is the God that is sending Moses saying, tell them, it's the loving God. The God who loves you. The God who wants to meet your needs, to be in relationship with you. That's the God who's sending you. Tell them, I am. We render that Yahweh. Or if you were to be a little bit Jewish, you'd say Yahweh. But you spray when you say it, so we don't. Yahweh. The God who wants a relationship. And this is, in introducing himself to the people of Israel, this is what he said as he's bringing them out of Egypt, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Yahweh, Lord, whenever you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's the Hebrew word Yahweh, the God who wants a relationship with you. That's that word. Yahweh Rafika, the Lord who heals you. This is how God identified himself to Israel. Perhaps Bartimaeus knew this. Perhaps Bartimaeus said, well, if God is a healing God, surely blindness is no problem for him, even though no one had ever been healed of blindness to this point. So perhaps that's what Bartimaeus knew. Perhaps Bartimaeus was reading the Psalms and he read Psalm 103. Perhaps he knew that Psalm 103, where the psalmist says, forget not all his benefits. He's talking to the Lord, who heals all our diseases. Perhaps Bartimaeus knew that as well, that if God can heal all diseases, if God can heal all conditions, he can heal my blindness. Perhaps that's what Bartimaeus was thinking. Well, perhaps Bartimaeus was also thinking, if God is such an all-powerful, loving, good God, why would he allow this tragedy in my life? Why would a good, loving, kind God allow sickness and disease to grip my body and affect me the way it has? Well, I think, contrary to some, I think we're going to find in Scripture that God does indeed, either, depending on your theology, God either does allow or ordain sickness. He does. Well, we see examples where God caused people to become unwell. Now, why would God do that? I've heard people say, oh, God would never do that. Well, biblically he did. Moses was there and he had Aaron and Miriam come to him and say, who do you think you are? Remember that? Remember where that happens? And God says, hey, look, he's my representative. That's who he thinks he is. And you remember what happened? He got very sick. He became a leper. Leper. He became a leper. Who did that? God did that. Isn't that interesting? Now, why would God do that? I think there's four good reasons why God would do that. Why would God allow or ordain sickness? Firstly, it's not always going to do you harm. You know what happens when you get a bug or a virus or something? Your body builds up resistance to it. That's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. Sometimes sickness or injury or pain can be for our good. Pain is not always bad. The Bible speaks of a woman going through the pain of childbirth as a good thing because it results in the birth of a child. Pain's not always a bad thing. So firstly, for our good, God will allow or even ordain these things for our good. Secondly, Romans chapter 8 talks about the law of decay. You know, there's a law of decay. It says this, that if a, if a, an apple falls off a tree, lands on the ground, guess what's going to happen to it if no one eats it? It's going to go, you know, brown, and because it's decaying. It will decay and it will become fertilizer, I guess, for the tree. Now imagine if nothing decayed. You know what this world would be like? Very, 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 very crowded with bacteria. Very crowded with bacteria. But God has put into this design the law of decay. Now that means this, as you get older, listen to me. As you get older, you grow. But then you come to a point around about the age of Mark Jago where it's all downhill from... Mark's about my age, so... But you come to a point where that's it. You're not growing anymore, and from now on, it's going to hurt. I'm about to do an 85-kilometre bushwalk along the South Coast track. Yeah, that's right. Pain is good for you. And I know it's going to hurt, and I know my knees are going to hurt, but what do you expect? I should have done it when I was 20-something. Now I'm doing it when I'm in my late 20s, and it's... in my late 40s, and it's probably going to hurt because there's a thing called the law of decay. Now, it's like this. If you're a professional boxer and you're getting thumped in the head every match, and then, you know, when you retire from your boxing career and you've got these mysterious headaches. Well, firstly, you probably had one too many knocks to the head not to realise where you got the headache from. But if you are thumping something, you're decaying, you know, it's decaying and it's going to hurt. And there's also things that will accelerate the law of decay in our bodies. Apparently, don't quote me on this, but apparently fatty foods increases your weight. Apparently this is what happens. Your body will decay under nutritional abuse. And if you don't look after your body, if you don't keep fit, it will decay. So if you need to keep more fit, Trish, give us a wave. See Trish, she'll get you fit. So, and we do. We need to counter the law of decay by keeping fit. So why do people get sick sometimes? Because there is this law of decay. It's in the world that God has designed. Thirdly, God has designed that some people are sick or injured or diseased for his glory. You remember, it's around about John 9, the disciples and Jesus come across another blind man. And the disciples turn to Jesus. Who sinned? This man or his parents? And the answer is, strangely, neither. Which isn't true in the technical sense, but he's answering the question because that's not really the question. The question they were really asking was, anyone got an idea? Why is this man blind? Because they had this very simplistic notion that if you're sick, injured, or diseased, it's probably because you deserve it, buddy. You probably sinned. And that's what they're asking. And Jesus said, no, that's not the reason at all. The reason is, he goes on and says, so that God will be glorified. Come again. Watch this. Jesus healed that blind man. And then he says, now go to the priest and get checked out. He does. They say to him, we saw you every day. You were blind. You can now see. Have you been scamming us? No, I was born blind. I've never seen in my life. I can now see. Who did this to you? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus? Well, he's a bad man. Well, you might think so, but he gave me my sight. I think someone who can do that, this is what he said, could only do that by the power of God. That's what he said. So God was glorified. So sometimes God ordains sickness, disease, injury, tragedy for his glory. Let's kill these lights. I filmed a video interview with someone just local. And this is another reason why God will bring healing, because it will be something that he will do to be glorified. And I want you to see this. this testimony, and you'll probably recognize this.
It was about 5 years ago. I had two really stressful things happening at the same time. One was I had to discipline somebody in the church, which would have changed their lives. And the other thing was that I had a cancer growing on my ear, which the doctor had sent me to a surgeon. The surgeon had said, I want to put you in straight away and remove that, and because there are issues with the cartilage already and you need to have something done. And I couldn't think through either of these issues because the emotion was running because of the discipline I had to do to this person and also that. And I wanted to hear from the Lord to get it all right. And so I said, Lord, I need something to say that I'm still on the right track. I'm still your child. I'm still doing the right thing. And overnight, that cancer just fell off. And I went to the doctor who said, it's gone. It's not supposed to go, but it's gone. And it's 5 years later, it's never re-emerged. Although the surgeon said it would, it hadn't just fallen off. She didn't see it, but she said it would re-emerge. But it helped me to make my decision carefully then about what I had to do with the ministry issue.
So that was your right ear?
It was my left ear.
Left ear, so we'll just... Oh. So is there any remnant?
No, there was a little hole which just healed over and that was it.
Right.
Yes. And God's gap payment is a lot less than the surgeon's.
How's that? Now, that's not some testimony in the back sticks of India that someone heard on a missions trip. This is right in Lagana, just over the road there. And I've got a couple more for you as well. So God heals. Jesus Christ healed. Acts 10:38 sums up the life of Jesus by saying this. He went about everywhere doing good and healing all who were sick. So healing was integral to what Christ did. Jesus Christ healed the sick. Now, it's interesting, in Matthew chapter 8, there's this reference that cites the prophet Isaiah. Now, it's particularly interesting because we have in verse 17 this reference where Matthew says, quoting Isaiah, he took all our illnesses and bore our diseases. That's that by his stripes you were healed. Now, the interesting thing there is that Matthew is citing the prophet Isaiah during the healing ministry of Christ. Matthew chapter 8 was a chapter where Jesus particularly did a lot of healing. And I want you to see that Jesus wasn't able to heal because he died on the cross. Jesus was able to heal because he is God. That's why. And God healed in the Old Testament, Jesus healed during his earthly ministry, and all of this took place before the cross. Now, some people say Jesus Christ died for your sins and your sicknesses. And I'm going to argue, no, he didn't. He died for your sins. By his grace and power, he can heal you of your sickness anytime he likes. He didn't need the cross to have the right to do that. So this... Hopefully, if you get this, you get what follows on from that. Because some people teach that Jesus died on the cross so that we could be healed. It's called healing in the atonement. But the problem with that is this, that if you call upon the Lord to be saved because of the cross, you'll be saved. That's the promise of Scripture. But if you're sick and you call upon the Lord, you died that I can be healed. So, Lord, heal me now. It's my right and I claim it and you're not. What are you going to do? Because a lot of people, what they do is they shake a fist at God and go, you're not real, you're not answering. When in fact, they've bought a doctrine that's not taught in Scripture. All the references to by his stripes you were healed have to do with our spiritual healing, not our physical healing, our spiritual healing. Now, if you're hearing me say that means Jesus Christ can't heal today, you're not that's not what we're saying at all. So let's unpack that a little bit, because we do definitely believe that Christ heals today. In fact, I'm going to give you some more testimonies where that has happened. And so when Christ commissioned his disciples, we read in Matthew chapter 10, he said, go and preach the kingdom, pray for the sick, cast out demons, cleanse lepers. These signs will follow you. And that's exactly what they did. They came back and said, wow, it was amazing. We laid hands on sick people and they got well. We spoke to people who looked like they had a demon and the demon came out of them. We did these things in your name and it was amazing. Wow. And then when Jesus left this dimension and went back to the dimension of heaven from where he rules the universe right now, he said, go in my name. And we read in Mark chapter 16, that you, and you'll cast out demons. You'll speak in new tongues. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In the closing chapter of Luke, it says that these signs and these wonders followed the disciples everywhere they went. Signs and wonders were following them, and that was healing. Now, I was Pearl, you might be interested in this. I was telling someone if they need a sign, see Mick. And they said to me, oh, I bet your signs follow him wherever he goes. He's a sign writer, by the way. It was meant to be heaps funnier than actually how it sounded funny in my head when they said it. But obviously I didn't. Anyway, come on, let's move on. So, and we see in the book of Acts that when the church was established, it would go into a town, it would preach Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul, at one point in Acts chapter 14, saw someone who was unwell. He saw them, a crippled man, and he said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they were, and so, that's a sign, it's a wonder. And people were being healed all through the book of Acts. So Christ has commissioned his church to continue on his healing ministry. And that healing ministry continues on today. A lot of times Christ gave the visual picture of laying hands on people, where the picture is God's power flows through him, through his hands, and into another person. That's one of the ways he told the disciples to pray for people to be made well, also to lay hands on. So you may hear that expression, the laying on of hands. And that's the symbol. It's a picture of the hand of God is upon you. The expression, the hand of God, the arm of God, is an expression in the Old Testament, which means God's power. So it's a picture of the power of God coming on a person. And so the Bible says you can call for people, particularly the elders of a church. They'll lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, pray for you, and you shall recover. I haven't got time to go into that, but that is somebody who is on their deathbed, and that recovery is a recovery of soul. But some people see that extrapolated out to call for the elders of the church in cases of very difficult physical condition, and they'll pray for you. Here's another testimony. This time it's of Jan McKay, who had a degenerative jaw condition that was incurable, and she had someone lay hands on her.
Okay, well, let's pick the story up there, Jan. So you were in quite a bit of jaw pain.
That's right. I used to have to go to bed with pillows on either side so I wouldn't move my head in the night. And I was working at CMS Bookshop, as it was then, Coorong, as a volunteer. And so I wanted to sort of be on top of things. But we were on our... first of all, we had the minister come and pray, a friend of ours, who was an Anglican minister, and he, with a laying on of hands, he prayed about it, and almost instantaneously it healed. And the little footnote to that is that I still was putting the plate in of a night time, you know, because that had been the instruction, but we were driving to Hobart, and very clearly, I must have been attentive to God that day, I very clearly heard God say to me, if you believe, if it is healed, and you believe it's healed, why are you still putting the plate in? So I took it out, and I've never put it back in since.
Wow. So what was the condition called?
Well, basically, it was an arthritis in the jaw, and it was going to eventually disintegrate. And for anybody who knows me, well, of course, I've ever since given glory to God through speaking and singing and things that, which involve my mouth, mm-hmm. because this was the very thing which the oral surgeon had told me wouldn't function properly for the rest of my life.
Right. So you were told it was essentially incurable.
That's right.
You were prayed for, and you've instantly felt something happen. And how long ago was this?
It's about 2 decades ago now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was a fad. This has lasted.
That's
this
right.
Healing has lasted till now as well.
Absolutely.
Great.
So Jesus Christ heals today. There's two local examples, but I do want you to understand that ultimately you could leave this planet maimed, injured, diseased, sick, injured, riddled with whatever, and if you don't know Jesus, you really are sick. But if you have Christ as Saviour of your soul, really your physical condition, not that big a deal, really, because Jesus actually said it's better to cut your hand off and enter into life than it is to have both hands and go to hell. Time prevents us from looking at the relationship between faith and healing, but if you just come back with me as we finish up looking at Bartimaeus again, I want you to see some things here in conclusion. Remember, Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Faith and healing go hand in hand. But faith is not presumption. Faith is simply not wishful thinking. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is a gift that God gives you, puts something in your heart, and it opens you up to what God wants to do in your life. Now think about this. If you do not think that a person can offer you anything, do you go up to them and ask them for something? You see, the fact that Bartimaeus went to Jesus and asked him for healing says where his faith was. Now you may think, well, I don't know if I've got enough faith. As if God is up there with an iPhone app that says faith meter, going, and there's Sue praying, nearly, no. Didn't make it. Next, there's Heidi praying. Ooh, whoa, yeah, you have that, girl. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way because it's not our faith upon which we approach God. What is it, Galatians 2:20? I now live by the faith of the Son of God. God gives the gift of faith, the gift of faith. And it's when God puts faith in your heart that you become open in a way that allows God to do what he wants to do. I hope that frees people up. I hope if you've been asking for healing, you'll keep asking. I hope you don't give up. I hope you don't think, well, I'm not getting it because I just don't know the formula. I don't know the right way to do this. I hope that's not you. Ultimate healing is our spiritual healing. It's really, really important. Let's just have a listen to this in the background. We sang this hymn, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. Oh, sinner, come home. Let's pray. Father, we hear the voice of Jesus calling, not arrogantly, not abruptly, not shouting or screaming, but softly and tenderly calling to each one of us, not calling us anything other than what we really are, sinners in the sight of God. And Lord Jesus, we need you. We need your forgiveness. So Lord, right now I pray that we would walk in your forgiveness. And Father, I pray that you would right now let faith arise in the hearts of your people. So right now we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would stretch out your healing hand. Let your healing power flow through this place today. But Lord, I also pray for the ultimate healing. If you have never made your peace with God, if you have never surrendered to him and accepted his terms, then I pray that right now you will, that you will call upon Jesus, come and forgive me and come and live in my life. I give my life to you. You pray that prayer, not only will your eternity be transformed, but your life right now will be changed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Our God heals. Has that been your experience and understanding of our God? Dr. Corbett continues next week with more of what we know of our God. podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, Our God Part 3, God Heals, are available from Lagana Media. You can contact us at PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277, or via the website findingtruthmatters.org. If you'd like to subscribe to the monthly e-newsletter Perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.